Hi, I'm Frank, and I pastor Real Life Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this, however. Years ago, I was an unsaved, hard-living, young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me professionally, but inside, I was unfulfilled and unhappy. Here I was, living and working in the land of the Bible, excavating the palaces of Herod the Great, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but not knowing Jesus. But everything changed the day I gave my life to the Lord in Jerusalem. So join me now as I share my journey with insight and revelation into the Bible, drawn from the times that I lived and worked in the Holy Land. Let's apply God's Word to real life.
Luke chapter 24. We're talking about dealing with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. As I mentioned, everybody has had some disappointment at some point in their lives. We've all had disappointment. It may be a person disappoints us. It may be a circumstance, a situation disappointments. A job disappoints us. It may be that we're expecting to get a promotion, expecting to get a raise, expecting to get a new job, and we didn't get it, and it was disappointing. But what do we do from that point of disappointment? That's what we want to look at tonight. How do we as believers deal with it? How do we overcome it? How do we grow through it? In Luke 24, verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. I know you know exactly what that means, 60 furlongs, so I don't need to bother to explain it to you. And they talked together of these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. They didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. He said to them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? It was obvious to everybody they were disappointed. You know, when we're disappointed, we kind of show. People know we're disappointed. Long face, a little bit of depression maybe. You don't want to communicate with other people. Sometimes people will just, they call out sick. They don't want to go to work. And they don't answer the phone when people check on them. A little grumpy. And of course, blame other people. Because you always blame other people when you're disappointed, right? You don't ever blame yourself. You blame other people. Now, what were they disappointed in? And this is the first key to understanding disappointment. They were disappointed in a false expectation. A false expectation. They had their thought of who Jesus should be, but it wasn't who Jesus is. They thought he was going to deliver them from the Romans. They thought he was going to kick them out. They thought he was going to establish an independent nation state of Israel. That's not what he said. Their expectation caused disappointment because it was a false expectation. Now, this does not mean that we should not expect a miracle. We should not expect healing. We should not expect breakthrough. We should not expect the promises of God. Those are not false expectations because they're based in God's word. A false expectation is based in our own mind when we project what we want rather than what God wants. So the first way to deal with disappointment is to understand what God's will is. What is God doing? What does his word say? What does his word mean to us? These people were so disappointed because they didn't understand Jesus' mission, his purpose, his word. This happens with all connections and jobs and education. And a part of it is limited perception. We have a limited perception. This is why Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Because with limited perception, we're not really aware of what's happening completely. We see it kind of in a narrow focus. We see what we want, what we expect. Again, a false expectation. And that limited perception is why they did not understand this is the Messiah. And there's a greater reason than Rome at the time. There's something bigger. So what do we want to do when we have those kind of limitations by expectation? Three things. Let go. Let go of the expectation. Let go. Not let go of God's word or when you're expecting the word of God to come to pass, a promise of God. We're not talking about that. We're talking about own personal conceived expectations. Let go. Look up. Look up and get the word from the Lord. Look up and get the direction from the Lord. Look up and get the promise from the Lord. His promises will always come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away. Our expectations will pass away. So will our disappointments. But his word never passes away, never changes, established forever. So let go, look up, and then look ahead. Look ahead with fresh expectation. Look ahead with expecting God's word to come to pass, God's plan to come to pass. Don't just formulate it and then expect God to bless it. Find his plan, and it's already blessed. So let go, look up, and look ahead. Say it with me. Let go, look up, and look ahead. One more time. Let go, look up, and look ahead. Now, when we're in the midst of disappointment, that's a real easy little formula, but when we're in the midst, my microphone's coming off. When we're in the midst of disappointment, it's a little bit hard, right? People get a little discouraged, so it's absolutely essential that we stay faithful. When disappointment has come, let's say that you are disappointed tonight in somebody or something or even yourself. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to the word. Stay faithful to God. Do the right thing because the reward will come from God. So don't give up on people. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the hope that you have in him for healing, for blessing. Maybe you're believing for healing and it hasn't happened yet. Don't give up. Maybe you're disappointed that it hasn't taken place. Don't give up. Remain faithful. Stay faithful to the promise of God. Stay faithful to the word of God. Stay faithful to the Lord himself. Hold fast to confession of your faith without failing, without compromising. He is faithful that promised. So number one, this is another number one. I know I just gave you a number one. Go, let go, look up and look forward, but look ahead. Stay faithful. Number two. In the midst of disappointment, this is a classic time to build your character. None of us want to. None of us care to. Because building character can be painful. But this is a time to build character. This would be like in a game or a sport, you're behind. You're losing. You're exhausted. You don't think you have anything left. The other person has outplayed you. The other team has outplayed you. There's just a few moments left before the game is over, whatever it may be. And in those last few moments, you decide that you are going to reach down deep into the reserve of your spirit, the reserve of your body, and you are going to pull out a last effort, and you are going to give it all you've got, and you win. Praise God. You're faithful. You didn't give up. And that's character building. Because you learn that you can go to the limit and still have more left. You can go to where you thought it can't happen any longer. You're too exhausted. You've tried everything, like the woman who spent all her money in 12 years and couldn't get healed. But she touched Jesus by faith and pulled the miracle out. So you stay faithful and build your character. God's priority, let me clue you in on something. This may be shocking. God's priority is not our happiness. You know? It's not our happiness. God's priority is our character. He wants us to be people of character. When we're people of character, we're going to have happiness. When we're people of character, we'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have learned whatsoever state I'm in to be independent of the circumstances. Now that's a great attitude. Very hard to achieve. But that's why character-building moments in our lives brings that about. And disappointments are opportunities to build character. Do we go to pieces? Do we fall apart? Do we hit the bottle? Do we pop some pills? Do we do some drugs? Do we just put ourselves to sleep? Or do we build our character, work on our own character? Every disappointment is an opportunity to build character. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to go there for a moment. I think we're finished in Luke. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. I might as well start verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in, what's that next word? Tribulation? Do you know anybody who glories in tribulation? I don't. But the Apostle Paul said we glory in tribulation. The only way, the only way that can be possible is if we break that down by the rest of the scripture. Knowing that tribulation works patience. In other words, it is those times of tribulation that we grow. It's during those times that we grow. You know, the old football slogan, I've shared it a million times. Be walking out to practice, hating it, hating practice, I hated practice. Walking out to go to practice, dreading what was about to happen for the next 2 hours. Beating our bodies into submission. The coaches relentlessly making us run, making us hit each other, you know, with pads, you know, run into each other, making us do calisthenics, push-ups, sit-ups. Relentless. And just as you exit the locker room, there was the sign. No pain, no gain. The last thing that I wanted to read on my way out. But true. Tribulation works patience. The thing that we want to avoid the most is the thing that builds us the most. When we lift weights, we tear down our muscles. That's tribulation. But yet they grow back stronger. Character development will grow stronger through disappointment. We don't want anybody to be disappointed. But if you do find yourself disappointed, use it to grow through it and develop your character. Tribulation works patience. Patience works experience. Experience. If I say to you tonight, do you have a testimony? I don't mean something current. In your life, do you have any testimony of how God met a need supernaturally? You have all heard my testimony of my healing. You know that. Do you have a testimony where God met? That's an experience. That patience, waiting upon God for the miracle, in spite of everything going down the tubes around you, that builds experience into our lives. So that the next time, we are not going to let the enemy talk us out of the promise of God, the miracle of God. We're not going to let our bodies talk us out of healing. We're not going to let circumstances depress us. We're going to hold fast God's word, because tribulation works patience. Patience works positive experience. And experience works hope. Yeah. When you know God doesn't let you down, when you know God meets your need, when you know even beyond your expected time, he still meets the need. He's not boxed in by time the way we seem to be. Then you have hope. And your hope grows, and your hope is stronger. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So you see, these opportunities are character-building opportunities. Number three, get the right support group. Get the right support group. Church is the right support group. You don't want to be surrounded by people who want to tell you how much worse they have it. You don't want to be surrounded by people who want to get into a contest with you to see who can out-depress the other, whose life is worse, who has more afflictions, more problems, more trials, more tribulations. You don't want to be around people that commiserate with you. You want to be around people that challenge you and say, well, brother, let me pray for you right now. Let's agree. Sister, let's agree for the power of God, for the miracle healing of God. Let's expect a miracle. Encourage you to hold fast. Encourage you to get up. Encourage you to stand on the word. Encourage you to speak the word. Encourage you to hold fast for the answer to your prayer. And basically encourage you out of depression, out of disappointment, and show you that there's a hope of a good end. Psalm 118, verse 8 says this, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. So, when you're putting together your support group, you've got to have God as the permanent member of the board. He's got to be in your support group. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Oh, but Pastor Frank, I've got this counselor. I've got this minister. I've got this psychiatrist, psychologist, and they really know their stuff. They are above and beyond everybody else. Psalm 118, verse 9. That was verse 8. This is verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So he says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in anybody that you exalt in position in life. God's got better. God's got better. Say that with me. God's got better. One more time. God's got better. You online, did you say it? Did you actually say it? Did you say it when I said, did you say it? Did you say it out loud? It's important to say these things out loud. I'm going to turn to Habakkuk. And I hardly ever preach from Habakkuk, but I'm going to go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, I hope I have it marked. Habakkuk, it's back here. It's Habakkuk in your Bible. Habakkuk. Okay, here it is. I'm going to pick up in chapter 3, verse 17. I'll give you a minute to get there. It's right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 3, just before Zephaniah. Habakkuk, let me see. Habakkuk comes after Nahum, if that helps. Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there'll be no herd in the stall. All right, that about covers every possible source of income for a rural Israelite. That about covers it all. He says, not going to be any figs, not going to be any grapes, not going to be olives, not going to be any wheat or barley, not going to be any flocks, and they're not going to be any herds. All right, so what do you got left? Nothing. Nothing. Reason to be depressed. Reason to be disappointed. The work of his hands, his labor, coming to nothing. But look what he says in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, what is that all about? That's all about the fact that we put so much emphasis on things in our life. We put, and so we can be disappointed when we don't get things, or the things we think we deserve, or the things that we want. Now, God is concerned with everything that we desire and gives us the desires of our hearts. However, if it doesn't happen on our timetable, we get disappointed. And what the Lord is showing us here is that we must have God first in our hearts, in our lives, in our focus, in our attention. Because he's always there. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's all powerful. And he is more than enough. He's the God that's more than enough. Until those things materialize, we have the presence of God to rejoice in, because his joy is our strength. It's a recalibration that we can focus more on him than on things. Focus more on him than on things. And he says, the Lord God is my strength. He's our strength, says right there. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He'll make me to walk upon the high places. So the word of God tells us that in spite of all those disappointing failures, we don't fall. He lifts us up, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us joy to go forward. In other words, to let go, look up, and look ahead. But we have a few more things. I think I gave you 1, 2, and 3. The 3 was get the right support group. 4, don't blame others. Don't blame others. Don't get into blaming other people. You know, there are some people that they have to blame other people all the time. It all started in the garden, by the way, you know. The snake talks Eve into the apple. Eve talks the man into the apple. And when God comes, the man says, not my fault, it's her. Eve says, not my fault, it's the snake. Snake had nowhere else to go. He had nobody else to blame but himself. But from the very beginning, sin always causes us, and Disappointment will cause us to try to blame other people for our own disappointment. Don't do it. Blame is a very common method that people use to cope with pain. You know, I mentioned coping with pain by drinking or popping pills or doing any kind of drugs, but blaming others is another way. Why do you think so much of today's society is based on blame? Right now, the chief perpetrators of all the evil in our country, you're looking at them, that old white guy. I'm the problem, according to our culture. And our forefathers, who left everything and risked their lives to found a nation based on God's word, the Bible, they're even worse, according to today's culture. We blame them for everything. It's because our culture, the people of our nation, are in pain. They're in pain. They don't have God. They don't have stability. They don't have hope of the future. They don't have a foundation. They have no purpose for joy. They recognize the fact that they may not accomplish what others have. They may not have what others have. So they're blaming. They're blaming. It's in our sin nature to blame. So what do? We love them. We recognize that they're not blaming us because we're the problem, and they're not blaming us because they're the problem. They're blaming us because sin is the problem. And the sooner we can get them out of the sin nature and into the nature of God, the better everyone's going to be. Some people blame God for their disappointments. Have you ever met somebody, I'm really mad at God. Oh boy, I am so angry at God. You know, that always seemed pretty absurd to me. Even before I was a believer, I don't think I ever got angry at God, because why get angry at the one person that can do something about it? Right? The miracle worker. Why get angry at the miracle worker? If there's somebody you do not want to alienate, it's the person who can help. But people blame God. They blame God for their own failures. They blame God for their own disappointments. They blame God for the things that have happened in their life. But do you remember Job? Job had a lot go wrong in his life, didn't he? His fields burned up. Flocks got stolen. Camels got stolen. Children were killed. Houses collapsed. And never once did he blame God. His friends told him to blame God. His wife told him to blame God. But never did. He never blamed God. See, current thinking at the time, not that his friends or his wife were apostate, current thinking at the time was, if all these calamities are coming on you, you are not right with God. So God has brought it. So basically they're blaming God, but they're blaming him for being in sin or something of that nature. However, he had not sinned. And he never blamed God. And what did he do? He prayed for the people who were blaming God and blaming him. He prayed for them. And look what happened to Job. He got double portion, twice as much. He had twice as much in the end. Twice as much. Because he refused to allow disappointment to dictate his life. And that's the next point I want to make. If we are unable to deal with disappointment, it will dictate our lives. Have you ever seen people, usually they're a little bit older. Well, let me put it this way, not a little older. Have you ever seen people who, they are going through dementia, and they seem to be foul-mouthed and nasty and critical and angry, and they use some of the foulest language. They're older people in dementia. That's somebody who's been continually disappointed in life and never dealt with it. And now that they're no longer in absolute control of their minds, all that bitterness is coming out, all that anger coming out. If we don't deal with the disappointments in life, we'll harbor bitterness and anger in our hearts. And the believer should not have a life based on bitterness or anger. We've got to let it go. Let it go. Look up. Look ahead. Let it go. Look up. Look ahead. Let the disappointments go. Is there anything tonight that anyone is disappointed with? Maybe you haven't received your healing. Maybe you haven't had the breakthrough that you've been believing for. Maybe you haven't had the raise or the promotion or the new job. Maybe you haven't found the right mate. I'm not talking to those who already have a mate. Maybe you haven't found the right person in your life. Maybe you're frustrated with the people in your life. And you're disappointed in them, in their behavior, or the behavior of coworkers. Maybe you're disappointed in bosses or employees or coworkers. We've got to get that out of our hearts because that will rule over us. That will dictate the rest of our lives. We want to let it go. It doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're innocent. It doesn't mean it's a good situation, but you want to let it go and let God deliver you. Let God bless you. Let God improve the circumstances of your life. But as long as you hold on to that anger and that bitterness, you hold on to that hurt, you hold on to that which you perceive as being negative against you, then there's no space to have the blessing of God in your hands. You got to let it go in order to hold your hands open to receive more from God. The Lord wants to bless us. In that, I know I said I'm not going to go back there. We're going to go back for a minute. If we go back to Luke, where we started tonight, after Jesus notices that they were disappointed, he asks them what, and they say the whole deal, the whole reason. And what does Jesus do? He said to them, "Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Shouldn't the Messiah have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses," now saying beginning at Moses, that means beginning in the Torah, "and all the prophets." So Jesus not only spoke from the Torah, he spoke from the Tanakh, the law and the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So how did he counteract their disappointment, their very real disappointment? He spoke the word of God to them. He spoke the truth to them. If we just fill our hearts with God's word, the truth concerning whatever it is that disappointed us, God's promise, God's blessing, God's word concerning that issue, we'll have just what happened here. Their eyes were opened. They knew him. And they said one to another, "Didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us?" That's revelation. That's the Spirit of God showing us all truth, guiding us into all truth, and showing us things to come. And that's how we overcome disappointment. Let go, look up, look ahead in faith. The Lord will never let us down. He never fails. His word remains forever. And his word never comes back to him empty, but always accomplishes his will in our lives.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and a pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, we want you to know that Real Life Radio is brought to you totally by Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but I would ask one thing. When you come to beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, why don't you stop in to one of our services? We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. All the services are located at 9644 North Kings Highway. That's in something called the Galleria. And it's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road and 17 Bypass in Myrtle Beach. We'd love to have you come spend some time with us any Sunday or any Thursday. But there's more. We also have services Sunday evening at 7 and Tuesday evening at 7. These, however, are totally online. In fact, all four services are online. So even when you're not visiting Myrtle Beach, you can be a part of our church. The web address is www.amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. I also invite you to visit our church website, which is www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. You'll find all kinds of free information, video messages, everything absolutely for free at pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is brought to you every Monday through Friday at the same time on this station. So until our next adventure through God's Word, start living that real life, resurrection life in Christ right now.